because at the time that you're watching this, I'm going to be with my wife. We're going to see one of our daughters who's in New York City. So I can't be with you on Shabbat, but we wanted to record this message and continue our discussion and going through the book of Hebrews. We started the book of Hebrews last week, and it's an amazing book. And the central question, the central theme or the central question that we've been going through is, who is Yeshua? Who is he? What is he about? And what does he mean to me? What does he mean to you? What does he mean to us? What does it mean for us? In a passage today, we're going to see a comparison. The comparison is going to be between Yeshua the Messiah and the Melachim, the angels. And our passage, if you want to get your Bibles out, is Hebrews chapter 1, verses 5 through 14. Now, as we go through the passage today, as we talk through this, there's going to be a lot of scripture references that the author of Hebrews brings out. A lot of passages from the Old Testament. And again, what we're also trying to do is link Yeshua as the Messiah to the prophecies and predictions of the Messiah throughout the Old Testament. We're going to see how it's seamless and the entire Bible speaks about the Messiah. Hebrews 1:5, for to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? Or again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Now we ended last week's passage and message with the statement that Yeshua our Messiah is much superior to angels. The first question to ask is, who are angels? There's a lot of speculation about angels. There's a lot of discussion. People thinking, this is what an angel is. This is what an angel does. This is what an angel looks like in our popular culture. But we need to first understand that. I remember as a kid, when I was growing up, there was a popular book that came out from a Christian writer. His name was Frank Peretti. And the book was This Present Darkness. Now, and the book was a very famous book. It's still a famous book to this day. And the whole premise of the book is there's another dimension that you and I can't see. And in that dimension, all around us, are angels and demons fighting, doing battles, spiritual battles. Recently on social media, just a couple of weeks ago, I saw this post that went viral. And it was a post about what angels likely looked like. And they actually had renderings, you know, pictures of the angels, and the renderings were pretty wild. It was pretty spectacular what they were saying the angels looked like. But again, there's a lot of speculation. What do angels look like and what are they? What do they do? Well, if you think about 2,000 years ago at the time of Yeshua, there were many Jewish sects at the time. But there were two main ones, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Now, the Sadducees were the priests, and they held a lot of power in Yeshua's time. In fact, you could argue that they, that sect, the Sadducees, had the most power in Israel at the time. The Pharisees were the other sect. Now, whereas the Sadducees were the priests and held a lot of the power, the Pharisees were the people's party, and they were very popular. But the Sadducees were the most powerful, and the Sadducees didn't believe in angels. They had a theology where they believed in the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. They didn't believe in heaven and hell, and they didn't believe in angels. Pharisees believed in angels, and we believe in angels because that is a biblical concept. Angels do exist, and we see them throughout Scripture. Turn with me to Hebrews 1:14, the end of our passage today. What do angels do? Well, very simply, the author of Hebrews tells us in one quick verse here, Hebrews 1:14, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? So angels minister to us. They are ministering agents or ministering angels. You've probably heard the term guardian angel. That's been very popular. Well, angels are agents of God sent out to minister, sent out to do battle. So they're there to protect us. They're there to minister to us. And you can imagine that because of that importance, they create a lot of awe and a lot of reverence. 2,000 years ago, and now, they have a very important role, but the author of Hebrews is making it very clear for us through this passage today that Yeshua, our Messiah, the Mashiach, is much superior than these angels, to these angels. And to do that, he is citing various verses in the Tanakh. Number one, he starts off showing how Yeshua is thoroughly connected with God as God the Son, and then how he's superior to angels. So we're going to go through some of these scriptures today. The first one is Psalm chapter 2, verse 7. And these are all referenced or quoted in Hebrews chapter 1 in our passage today. Let's read Psalm 2, 7. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Now, Psalm 2, the earliest references about Psalm 2 and what is this psalm really about, says it's clearly about the Messiah. It's clearly messianic. I'm going to give you a passage from the Talmud. The Talmud was a collection of Jewish writings. It's a collection of writings that is very central to Judaism. Now, the Bible, of course, is our inspired word, the word of God. But the Talmud kind of helps us understand certain things about the Bible, clarifies and explains certain things. And this is what the rabbis wrote in the Talmud. Now, this was written around the time of Yeshua, so about 2,000 years ago. It's very ancient. In Sukkah 25a in the Talmud, it says this, quote, the sages taught to Messiah ben David, who is destined to be revealed swiftly in our time, the Holy One, blessed is he, says, ask of me anything and I will give you whatever you wish. As it is stated, I will tell of the decree. The Lord said unto me, you are my son, this day I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will give the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. And then it references, in that Talmud quote, it references Psalm 2, 7, 8. So the Talmud is clearly saying this is about the Messiah, Psalm 2, 7. Messiah ben David, the conquering king. We're going to talk a little bit more about Messiah ben David a little bit later. Now, some of this wording should sound familiar to us. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. In Scripture, in the Gospel of Matthew, we read this, Matthew 3:16. And when Yeshua was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Now, if we go back to Hebrews 1:5, this is another Tanakh passage that the author is quoting here. He quotes Psalm 2:7, and now he quotes 2 Samuel 7, 13 and 14. I'm going to read that. 2 Samuel 13, 14. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men. Now, the context of 2 Samuel 7 is, this is King David. He's praying to God. He has become king. He's reigning in Jerusalem. He's got relative peace because he's conquered all of his enemies. He's sitting in a palace that he's created for himself. And the Lord is still dwelling in Jerusalem in the tabernacle. Now remember, the tabernacle was a temporary dwelling that was constructed by the Israelites under the direction of God in the wilderness. We just went through this all in our Torah portions in Exodus. And it's said in Scripture, that God's divine presence, his Shekinah, would come down into the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle, and there God would dwell in the midst of Israel. God, a holy God, with Israel, a holy people. Be holy as I'm holy. The people of Israel get into the land of Israel. Years go by. David comes. He's king. He's in his palace, and he's sitting there saying, God, this isn't right. You're still dwelling in this temporary tabernacle structure. But the Lord says to him, listen, you've shed blood, you're a man of shedding blood, but your son Solomon is going to build this temple for me. So we see in this 2 Samuel 7 prophecy, and we see this a lot in prophecy. When we look at prophecy in the Bible, many times there's an immediate fulfillment, and then there's a future full fulfillment. The immediate fulfillment for the 2 Samuel 7 passage is Solomon, David's son. He comes and he reigns, and we know that he was a great king, the greatest king of Israel before Yeshua, really. He enlarged the kingdom that even David had. He built the first temple. So that's the immediate fulfillment. But the final fulfillment, the more full fulfillment, is messianic. It's talking about the Messiah. And the imagery is about the Messiah, Son of David. That's a very messianic title. So this Son of David comes. His throne is established not just for a short time, like Solomon, but it's forever. So we see that this is Yeshua. This is a messianic reference here. Now, we're going to go back to Hebrews, and we're going to pick up in our passage for today. I'm going to read Hebrews 1, 6, and 7 now. And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all of God's angels worship him. Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. So this Son of God that the author of Hebrews is describing is to be worshipped by the angels, according to this passage. Now, the reference of Hebrews 1, 6 that we just read, pointing us back to Tanakh, to the Tanakh in this case, is Deuteronomy 32, 43. Now, if you were to go back and read Deuteronomy 32, 43 in whatever Bible you probably have, you're going to see that that reference does not say anything about angels. So then why is the author of Hebrew referencing Deuteronomy 32, 43? Well, we have to remember back at that time, the time of Yeshua, that there was an Old Testament translation that was used by pretty much everybody. It was a Greek translation of the Old Testament, and it was called the Septuagint. The Septuagint was done about 100 years before Yeshua. It was done by 70 Jewish scholars, and they put this Greek translation out there. Now, we know in the time of Yeshua that Israel was controlled by the Romans, and the Roman Empire ruled the world, and ruled Judea, and ruled Israel. But before the Romans came, the Greeks ruled. We know that with the story of Hanukkah and everything like that. The Greeks were ruling. And the Greeks influenced the Romans to the degree that Rome didn't really do anything original. It was all Greek thought. And the Greek language stuck. And so you had the people of Israel going around at the time of Yeshua speaking not only Hebrew, speaking not only Aramaic, they were speaking Greek. Scholars believe that Yeshua spoke Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. So this Septuagint translation would have been widely used and read. And in the Septuagint translation of Deuteronomy 32:43, it says angels. Now, let's look at another scripture reference in Hebrews. This one is found in Hebrews 1:7. Psalm 104:4. He makes his messengers winds, his ministers a flaming fire. That's a quote from that the author of Hebrews quoted. Now, angels are ministers of God, and the Son is far greater than just a minister, a messenger, just as we demonstrate. So point number one of the message today is Yeshua is superior to the Malachim, superior to the angels. Let's turn again in our passage now to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. We're going to read through 12. Hebrews 1, 8. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. Verse 10. And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will wear out like a garment, like a robe, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. So we see in the beginning part of that scripture section, which is verses 8 and 9 of Hebrews 1, that is a quote right from Psalm 45, 6 and 7. Now David Stern in his New Testament commentary says, Psalm 145 is a wedding psalm. It is a wedding psalm for an Israelite king. And he points out Jewish commentary that says, this psalm, Psalm 45, relates to King Messiah as the bridegroom, as the groom. Now, Warren Wiersbe, who I referenced before, he wrote a commentary on all the books of the Bible. His commentary on the New Testament book of Hebrews, in this particular passage we read, says, the wording, where it says the wording, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, this is a clear and strong affirmation, Wiersbe says, of Yeshua's remember in that passage, it says things in Psalm 102 and then in Hebrews, it says things like, you laid the foundation of the earth from the beginning. Your years have no end. This is referring to Messiah being creator. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, verses 1, 2, 3. Now, I talked about this before, but if you go back all the way to the beginning of the Bible, all the way back to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1, this is what we read. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Mentioned before that in this creation account, the first three verses of Genesis chapter 1, in these three verses we see the three facets of God that he has revealed to us, Father, Son, and Spirit. So let's go through that. The Father, in the beginning, God, that refers to God the Father. And of course, the Spirit is found in the section where it says, and the Spirit of God was lost. And to that, we have to go to verse 3, where it says simply, and God said. God spoke by the word of God. The word of God, specifically, there became light. The word of God is Yeshua pre-incarnate.
Amen.
Now, to see this more clearly, let's go to the book of John, chapter 1. As we turn there, John chapter 1, we have to understand, is a parallel account to Genesis chapter 1. So it starts off just like Genesis 1. I'm going to read John 1, 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Last week I quoted from John chapter 1, and I went down to verse 14, which is one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. And it says, basically I'm paraphrasing, that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that word that became flesh is Yeshua, the Messiah. This points us to the fact that Messiah is divine. He created the world. He is divine. He is without end. We say he's everlasting to everlasting. And he existed before and outside of all. The Messiah is everlasting. Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Now, we're continuing with the author of Hebrews here, the writer, of this clear contrast between Yeshua and the angels. Now, this verse, verse 13, is a direct quote of Psalm 110, verse 1. Now, remember, when we started the book of Hebrews last week, I mentioned this, that the book of Hebrews we've seen Psalm 110 is a central scripture. And I quoted David's Lord, sit at my right hand. That's Psalm 110, verse 1. Now I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22. There are many scriptures that say what we're about to read. I want you to pick out 1 Peter 3.22, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But 1 Peter 3.22 says this, and it's talking about those who have come to heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers, and in the hand. Now, if you were to read 1 Peter 3.21, you would see that it's clearly talking about Yeshua. It carries on to 22. There's no question that this passage in 1 Peter is talking about Yeshua, talking about Yeshua. It's a clear reference. Now, it says Yeshua sits at the right hand of God. What I love about the 1 Peter verse is not only says Yeshua sits at the right hand of God, but it goes on to say that angels are subjected to him, which was the whole point about our message today. But let's continue, because Hebrews 1:13 is also about how the Messiah puts the enemies under his feet. That's the wording, that's the language. Now, there's a lot of scriptures in the Bible that talk about how the enemies are put under the feet of God, of the Messiah, our enemies, God's enemies. I want you to turn to a couple of Psalms now. We're going to start with Psalm 68, verses 19, 20, and 21. Psalm 68, 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. God is our salvation. And again, interestingly enough, Yeshua, the word Yeshua in Hebrew translates out and means salvation. Let's continue, verse 20. Our God is a God of salvation, and to God the Lord bring deliverances from death, but God will strike the heads of his enemies, the hairy crown of him who walks in his guilty ways. Another psalm for you, another scripture, Psalm 89, verses 20 to 24 now. This is a little bit more pointed. Starting with verse 20 of Psalm 89. I have found David, my servant, and with my holy oil I have anointed him, so that my hand shall be established with him, my arm shall also strengthen him, the enemy shall not outwit him, the wicked shall not humble him, I will crush his foes before him, and strike down those who hate him. My faithfulness and my steadfast love shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. Now, these are clearly messianic passages talking about the Messiah. When Psalm 89 says, I have found David my servant, that's not literally talking about David, King David, the man. It's talking about the son of David. That was a way to say the Messiah. So they're clearly messianic passages. In traditional Jewish writings, the rabbis talked about two messiahs. You can find this throughout rabbinical writings. One to come as a suffering servant. And from that we get the scriptures like Isaiah 53. That is Messiah ben Yosef, which translates out as Messiah, son of Joseph. Now, interestingly enough, Yeshua's earthly father, his name is Joseph. But there's a second type of Messiah talked about with the rabbis, and that is the conquering king Messiah. Messiah ben David, or Messiah, son of David. We know, messianic believers know, that those two messiahs are really one and the same. And this refers to Yeshua's first coming as Messiah ben Yosef, the suffering servant, and Yeshua's second coming as Messiah ben David, as the conquering king. Now we're going to end with one scripture today, and there are many to talk about this. But if you go to the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, it speaks about this conquering king that's going to come. This conquering king that's going to come and crush his enemies and our enemies. Daniel 7, 13 and 14. I saw, this is Daniel prophesying, that God is inspiring him to say this. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. Clear messianic title, by the way. A son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days, a reference to God the Father, and was presented before him. Verse 14. And to him, the son of man, was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all peoples, nations, and languages shall serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. Point three, the last point in the message, Yeshua will return as conquering king, as Messiah ben David. In Hebrews, this passage is showing us that, and we see that throughout scripture. So the writer of Hebrews today in our passage, Hebrews 1, 5 through 14, is taking us on a journey. He's taking us on a journey through multiple scriptures in the Tanakh, in the Old Testament. He's showing us Yeshua is superior to angels. Yeshua is more than man. He's everlasting, from everlasting to everlasting. And he is and will be our conquering king, even conquering our enemies and conquering death itself. Let's pray. Lord God of Israel, we thank you because your word is true, and we can hold on to it, Lord, we can believe in it. We thank you, Lord God, for this book of Hebrews that we're going through. We thank you for the linking that we have between the Old and the New Covenants, between all of these scriptures that all corroborate, that all point to the fact that Yeshua is our Messiah. Yeshua is greater than the angels. Yeshua is everlasting, and Yeshua is our conquering king. God, we thank you. We praise you. This should be a, a strengthening of our faith today. So I pray, Lord God, that you would strengthen everyone's faith through this passage of Scripture, and that you would continue to guide us and direct us as we go through the book of Hebrews. We thank you, God. We praise you. We give you all the praise, glory, and honor. And it's in Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.